I took a big step for me on Sunday leading up. Next week I'll share why it wasn't so easy and why it might shed a little light for you as you lead up. Today I want to tell the story and extract two lessons for people who are in positions of authority. My wife Jennifer and I were driving to a progressive community conversation for which she had been asked to kick things off by talking about what gave her hope after November's election. She asked if she could kick some ideas off me, a role we serve for each other on a frequent basis. We are complements and value what each typically offer. She sees out, goes broadly and strategically, and she finishes. I tend to go in, go deep and theoretical, and open new possibilities. Without any premeditation, I pushed back on her request for me to be sounding board. With an edge in my voice that surprised and confused me, I said, "Please don't take offense, but I might have as much or even more to say on the topic than you do. And would you consider introducing me to comment publicly?" "How about if we lead by two?" I asked, referring to my intellectual passion and coaching pursuit, of which she was well aware. I added, not liking myself as I did so and stinging her, that after all, she was one of the progressive politicians who missed out on fully grasping the American scene. Might it not be good to hear from someone who had a perspective that was different than the prevailing right-left quagmire? I asked. There was tension hovering in our new Ford C-Max Energy as we headed towards Sonoma. I want to make two points about this, then tell you what happened, and then preview next week. Point one, roles are ridiculously powerful in how they shape our interactions. We are overwired with deference to authority. Though Jennifer and I are radically and blessedly equal and respectful toward each other, it was incredibly hard for me to ask that we lead by two. It felt disrespectful, arrogant. Who elected you? Who invited you? To put it differently, submission is built into our authority structures. Followers, even when they are respected staff members at the table or in my case a spouse, are wired for deference, whether that is beneficial or, quite frequently, not. Therefore, point two, authorities need to promote others, to encourage them to come forward, to make it safe. I invited a young associate 2 weeks ago to present part of a big public speech I had been hired to give in San Diego. He did it and he killed it. Afterwards, more people wanted to talk to him than to me. Now, if I had only seen things like age, roles, he had been a student of mine, experience, etc., and if I could not get past my ego identification with being the big speaker, I would never have let him do that. But which of us was more likely to be compelling on the topic of millennials, a 59-year-old or a 30-year-old? So if you're the boss, do you really need to chair every staff meeting? If you're the pastor, do you really need to preach at the main service every week? A very quick story. I was onboarding a new CEO 3 weeks ago with the CEO's number two, who had, by the way, been the other finalist for the CEO job. Number two made it 100% clear that they were comfortable supporting number one. In the course of our 2-day retreat, number two shared their deep values with number one and told a few stories that inspired number one and me close to the edge of tears. Man, was this person compelling. I was so impressed when number one said, "You have to tell these stories. People have to hear these stories." Number one did not allow his position or his ego to trump number two's extraordinary personal passion and persuasiveness. What a brilliant and confident leader to see how he could enable and empower the follower. The conclusion to my story, my wife readily agreed to my request. Her ego is so solid and balanced. She is generous, sharing power, and she saw the value of my yin to her yang. The sponsors and a number of others said they greatly appreciated hearing my view as well as Jen's. Yep, there is a huge place for a single orienting leader, but such leaders do well to model the work of my client number one and my number one person in the world, Jennifer. As Kouzis and Posner write, credible leaders accept and act on the paradox of power. We become more powerful when we give our power away. If you're the boss, how might you empower number two and three and four? Next week, I want to reflect more on the number two position, the challenge to lead up that lies before that number two client and that lays so deeply within the iceberg of my consciousness, in hopes that these reflections may help you to lead with your best self.